Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Coppola's Megalopolis plays to near-empty theaters. Megalopolis, a $120 million hot mess, another headline regarding this film. So
now I super want to see it. Right?
Just how bad could it be?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Vince, it's a Monday morning. People waking up groggy, starting their week. Some people frustrated over what they saw on the football field on Sunday.
Yes.
I woke up in the middle of the night to my 13-year-old telling us that her fish tank was leaking.
Uh-oh.
10-gallon tank just leaking randomly. We had to deal with that all for
an hour.
That's
what you want to do at midnight.
Yeah, in the middle of the night before a Monday. But you know what? That's okay. I'll deal with a leaky tank, given what's happening down south and those poor folks down south with Helene. This morning, millions of Americans remain without power after Hurricane Helene blew through the region. This storm is now being blamed for at least 116 deaths across a half a dozen states, and that number is expected to go up.
This morning in South Carolina, dozens are dead after Hurricane Helene pummeled the state. One couple dead after a tree fell on their car.
My cat is alive. My neighbors are alive. We are helping each other.
Massive recovery efforts are also underway in Florida.
We want to be helpful to get this debris.
While touring the devastation, the state's governor warned his state is not out of the woods just yet, with two more months left until hurricane season ends.
Nicole Valdez with CBS. She's in South Carolina right now. So we noticed on Friday just how big this storm was, that even by early Friday morning, it was already tickling mid-Indiana, like just the outreaches of this thing. It was just this wide, enormous storm, and apparently it was pretty big.
Put it into some perspective, it was the largest storm that we've seen in America since Irma in 2017. This was 420 miles wide of tropical storm force winds, 420 miles of that, and this storm had so much moisture with it.
ABC's Kenton Gawain. There. And one of the issues they ran into is some of these areas were already getting hit hard with rain to begin with. And then also then days after heavy rain to then have Helene roll in. That's why you're seeing these mudslides and these flooding and this just houses that are gone. And listen to this. Listen to how much rain we're talking about.
The National Weather Service now says the total volume of water that Helene and another system dispensed over a five-day period was 40 trillion gallons of water.
I don't even know what that is.
You can try to wrap your mind around that, right?
40 trillion gallons of water over 5 days just dumped on these states.
If we felt any effects here, it was the wind.
Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday, the winds from that. Didn't get any rain from it. I don't think they were looking at possibly southeast corner of the state, maybe just getting a shower or two. But we definitely felt the winds here in Wisconsin.
So, yeah, 116 deaths. A lot of search and rescue efforts going to take place again today after this historic flooding. So lots of problems down south. The president declaring an emergency in those areas, also planning to get down there at some point, but wants to be cautious and not spend any time down there before they're taking care of the business they have to first.
Brewers get their playoff run started tomorrow late afternoon. Opponents to be determined. We'll get into that next in sports.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
All right, now it's time for the playoffs to begin for your Milwaukee Brewers. The crew fell to the Mets 5-0 on Sunday. Oh, well.
Again, it absolutely didn't matter.
So here's what we know.
To us.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
well, it mattered to the Mets.
Game one at AmFam Field for the start of the playoffs for us. This will be first round wild card action is Tuesday. Around 4:30-ish, 4:40-ish time frame.
They're saying 4:32.
Yeah, 4:32.
Why did you do that? Tell me 4:30.
And then game two is around like 6:30-ish. Same type of deal, game two. We don't know if there'll be a game three. That would be on Thursday. So who will we play? Well, we're not quite sure. There's a doubleheader today that will determine everything. The Mets and the Diamondbacks both won on Sunday. The Braves lost. So here's what happens. The Mets and the Braves have a doubleheader in Atlanta. if there's a sweep, so if the Brewers, or I'm sorry, the Brewers, if the Braves win both games today, or if the Mets win both games, that team would play the Padres. And the final wild card would be the Diamondbacks, and Arizona would come here to Milwaukee, right? So okay. If there's a sweep from either team, if the Braves win them both or if the Mets win them both, they go to California.
Okay, got that.
And the other team is out.
What if they split?
If they split, then the Mets come right back here to Milwaukee, and the Braves would head to the Padres. Now, a split seems to be the most likely. Here's why. Because whichever team wins the first game has no incentive to win the second game.
So they're not going to burn out their pitching staff. They're not going to roll out their...
Right. Okay. Unless they really want to beat their division rival and knock them out, there's really no incentive.
Okay.
So if you win the first one, okay, well, fine. I'm already
Maybe they
going
do a
here.
Handshake. Look, we can both be in.
Right?
Right, you know?
Right? So, I mean, if the Braves win the first one, they know what they're doing. So then the Mets maybe would win the second or whatever. But that's what we would expect as a split. Now anything's possible. Who knows? The Diamondbacks may be coming back here. I don't know if anyone wants to play
I don't have
Arizona.
Any interest in seeing that. Nope.
Although all three teams seem to be scuffling at the moment. But, yeah, go ahead and beat each other up today. But if you see a split, that would mean the Mets are coming right back here to Milwaukee for Game 1 on Tuesday afternoon.
First pitch in that doubleheader is 12:10 this afternoon. 4 weeks in a row, Eric, bold predictions, Bilstead, looking smarter every week.
Second down, one, Darnold. Again deep, and picked off, intercepted. For a fourth time in four games, McKinney does it again. That time stopping the Vikings deep in Packer territory.
CBS Sports on the call. Yep. Packer safety, Xavier McKinney, whom Eric absurdly predicted would have 10 interceptions this season.
That's the only win from Sunday, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah, he's nearly halfway there in just 4 weeks.
Yeah, sure.
McKinney's third quarter pick, part of a furious Packers comeback against the Vikings that fell just short. Vikings put up 28 points in the first half. Beating the Packers 31-29, head coach Matt LaFleur.
This is a humbling league at times, and credit to them. They did more than we did to win the game, and we got to bounce back from it. We got to learn from it and get better.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love, LaFleur confirmed what we all saw, got better as the game went on. Looked rusty to start.
Yeah.
389 yards passing, four touchdowns, which 99 times out of 100 you say we win that game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But he had three interceptions. Packers missed a pair of field goals as well. That's easy math. Could have been the difference. You were there.
Yes, yes, and Narveson.
How'd they like him over there?
No, they don't like him anymore.
On TV.
Crowd is done with that.
Vikings go to 4-0. Packers at 2-2. We've got the Rams on the road with a 3:25 kick on Sunday. And tonight, Monday Night Football at Week 4 in the NFL will conclude with a 6:30 kick, Tennessee at Miami. And then the Lions play tonight. They host the Seahawks. That game, a 7:15 kickoff. Busy week ahead. Update on a few political stories. Didn't want to get lost in the weekend shuffle. A couple of things broke late on Friday. Things that we talked about on the show last week. So I want to update you on that. Former President Trump will be back in Wisconsin tomorrow. Vice presidential debate is tomorrow night. But we'll start with Mayor Dropbox in Wausau.
I went in and got a cart, and I wheeled it up to my office. So I put it in a safe place, and there it sits.
Mayor Doug Dinney there speaking last week with WAOW Channel 9 News in Wausau. Also talked with the New York Times, various other media outlets about what he did with the city's lone drop box that he found unsecured outside City Hall a week ago.
You would think bolting it to the ground would be an appropriate thing before we send ballots out that says it's ready to go. But for all I know, and all anyone knows, that could have been in the river. It was not bolted down.
That's the mayor's explanation as to why he wheeled that ballot drop box into his office, where as far as we know, it remains.
Haven't heard anything else otherwise then.
Well, the mayor is no longer talking so much about the incident or anything, telling media in Wausau last week that he needs to consult a lawyer. Probably good advice. The Marathon County District Attorney's Office is asking for help from the State Department of Justice and the Sheriff's Office in neighboring Portage County to investigate. Now, sometimes when you have potential conflict of interest
you go to
a neighboring county and have that investigative arm there. But those among the developments headed into the weekend, without regard for how you feel about drop boxes or even whether the mayor was right on principle in this case to suggest the box outside City Hall should have been better secured, his remedy of just wheeling it away could result in criminal charges.
Yeah, I can't do it that way.
So that story is still very much alive as we head into this week. Battleground, Wisconsin, former President Trump ramping up his immigration stance while in southwestern Wisconsin over the weekend.
In Wisconsin, former President Donald Trump upping his personal attacks against Harris. At one point, talking about the border, calling her mentally impaired, saying she should resign and go back to California.
Only a mentally disabled person could have allowed this to happen to our country.
And the majority of Trump's speech centered on his anti-immigrant message, often using extreme language, claiming that all migrants are hardened criminals destroying the country.
It's ABC's Mary Alice Parks on the Trump event at the Prairie du Chien Area Arts Center, much smaller venue than the former president had wanted, after the Secret Service said it could not secure a large outdoor rally for him, given how thin agents were stretched due to the UN General Assembly that was in New York over the week. Former president planning two stops in Wisconsin tomorrow, including Milwaukee. He'll be in the Madison area speaking at a manufacturing company in Wanakee Tuesday afternoon, and then heads to Milwaukee for a 5 o'clock speech at Discovery World on the lakefront, 28 minutes after the first pitch of the Brewers game, by the way.
So you got the Brewers starting tomorrow afternoon and then the former president here at the same time.
And then you have Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Democratic nominee for vice president, and the Republican nominee for vice president, Senator J.D. Vance. They will debate on CBS Tuesday night. No audience at the CBS Broadcast Center in New York. Live mics at the discretion of the moderators. Yep. Candidates will be at podiums for the 90-minute contest.
The vice presidential candidate, Senator J.D. Vance and Governor Tim Walz, gearing up for tomorrow night's VP debate. It's the only one scheduled. Walz pairing with Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. The Walz team saying the goal is to let the governor be himself and focus on the future. A fellow Minnesota lawmaker, Republican Congressman Tom Emmer, is helping Vance get ready.
Once he understands that Tim Walz is just going to try and deflect and go into this folksy whatever, he'll hold him accountable.
It's ABC's Perry Russum reporting the debate, 8 p.m. our time. So what was that all about? Packers head coach Matt LaFleur kind of lost his mind at the end of the first half, got a penalty. He walks us through what happened coming up in sports at 6:45.
The film The Wild Robot had itself a better-than-expected opening weekend at the box office.
Congratulations on your purchase of a Universal Dynamics robot.
Yeah, DreamWorks animated movie of shipwrecked robot brought in $35 million in ticket sales. But what about Megalopolis? Told you about this one, right?
This is the one where you shared the reviewer who said, this is not a review, it's a warning.
Yeah, do not see this movie. Francis Ford Coppola sold part of his wine business to raise the necessary funds for this. It cost about $120 million in production costs, another $20 million for marketing and distribution expenses, all of that. So how did it do?
Meanwhile, the sci-fi epic Megalopolis collapsed in its box office debut, collecting just $4 million at North American theaters this weekend.
$4 million, that's all. The headlines, if you read the headlines on this, it says, Coppola's Megalopolis plays to near-empty theaters. Megalopolis, a $120 million hot mess, another headline regarding this film. So
now I super want to see it. Right?
Just how bad could it be?
Well, one, because I still just don't trust it. I think it's a premise that like I would be into.
Oh, the idea of like a, I don't know, a modern-day Rome.
Yeah.
Epic avant-garde.
But then secondarily, like, you wonder, like, does it become so bad that people go to see it and that becomes a thing?
Kind of like Cats, although Cats didn't end up so bad that people went and saw it, right? They just said it was
bad. They just said it was bad.
The movie I'm talking about.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. At 6:41 on a Monday morning, I want to give you a taste of a topic we're going to explore a little bit more in our 8 o'clock hour this morning. Pushback from the work-from-home crowd at Amazon. It's one of the world's largest companies recently announced everybody's coming back to the office start of next year.
Amazon told its employees that all corporate workers must return to a five-day in-person work week as of January 2025.
It's Conway Gittins reporting from the New York Stock Exchange for business media outlet called The Street. So as he describes, some workers were still 3 days a week at home for Amazon, two in the office. That is soon to be done for this company that has more than 1.5 million full and part-time employees. Why are they doing it? Gittins with The Street here reporting on a note to employees from the Amazon CEO, Andy Jassy.
Collaborating, brainstorming, and inventing are simpler and more effective. Teaching and learning from one another are more seamless, and teams tend to be better connected to one another.
Yeah, but nobody ever trusts the boss, right? So what's really going on?
Right.
My contention has always been, and I love talking about this topic because a lot of folks are divided on it, particularly
sure.
those who love and are devoted to working from home. And then there are others who are committed to bringing people back to the office, and it affects workplaces all over. My contention has always been, if Amazon or any of these big companies that are still allowing work from home for a large part of their employees, if it was all good and they were getting more productivity from workers that work from home types mm-hmm. continue to claim, no, I'm more productive at home. If there were cost savings and better work and more revenue, wouldn't they just yes. keep it up? Like, what do they care most about? The
money.
Bottom line,
yes.
right?
Money, 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 money.
So there has to be something to it. I know folks will text. I bet you they're going to text right now. Always like, I work from home. I'm more productive. I do this. I actually work more hours. You know, they continue to say this. However, CEOs and managers continue to say, we're not seeing it on our end.
And both things can be true. There are probably a good handful of people that are very, I'm
yes.
kidding. There are people that are very productive working from home, clearly. But it clearly doesn't work for everybody. At least that's what Amazon is seeing.
And then there are those who, was it Wells Fargo that busted those folks using like the
yeah, like fake
this little robot thing that made keystrokes
yep.
because they couldn't even be bothered to fake working.
Right.
They had to get a robot to fake their work.
So that it was to move the mouse around.
Right. So I think you're right. On an individual basis, probably there
sure.
are some
yes.
folks who are much more productive at home, but it doesn't seem like that's playing out on a larger scale, which is why these CEOs and Amazon, one of the largest companies on the planet, mm-hmm. is bringing everybody back to work. We'll get into it a little bit more coming up after 8 o'clock this morning.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
What is that? There's something wrong with the radio.
Don't do it.
Something wrong with the streaming device. It's a little Brewers buzz. That's right, the buzz is back. And they lost yesterday, but that doesn't really matter. Final day of the season, the Brewers fall to the Mets 5-0 at AmFam Field. So now comes the interesting part. We have a doubleheader with the Mets and the Braves. Whoever wins and whoever loses could determine or will determine who plays the Brewers tomorrow.
A split and Atlanta and New York get in. A sweep and the loser is out and the Diamondbacks clinch.
Yes, so if there is a sweep from either team, then the Diamondbacks come to Milwaukee. So I don't know, maybe the Diamondbacks are already here. Do they like fly in just to hope?
Just in case?
But it would have to be a sweep. The Mets or the Braves would have to sweep for that to happen. If they split, then the Mets come back to Milwaukee for another series. That is more likely to happen because the way it seems to appear here, there's no real incentive to sweep. If the Mets win the first game, they already, okay, well, going to Milwaukee then, let's just get our pitching set up and cruise through the second game.
I guess if you're the Mets and you'd rather play,
you'd think they'd rather fly here than fly all
than fly
the way to the
West Coast.
I mean, you're talking about time changes and all that stuff.
Right.
So the Braves,
so that would be incentive to split.
The Braves are going to the West Coast no matter what. So if they win that first one, well, why would you try to win the second one?
I don't know. It's all going to play out in a matter of hours,
yeah.
right?
So we will either play the Mets or the Diamondbacks. We'll find out after that doubleheader today. First game is tomorrow, 4:32, first pitch.
Week 4 in the NFL concludes tonight. Two games on the schedule. Tennessee at Miami for a 6:30 kick, and the Lions play tonight. They've got the Seahawks at 7:15. On Sunday, almost a comeback for the ages.
Lock 372 through the air. Look out, Van Ginkle to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Ricks.
CBS Sports on the call. That fourth quarter touchdown from Jordan Love to Dontavian Wicks with the extra point made it Vikings 31, Packers 29. Unfortunately, that's where it would stay. Love, a late interception, his third of the game. That sealed it for Minnesota, the Vikings putting up 28 points in an unwatchable first half.
It was pretty bad.
you were there.
I was there. There's a lot of purple in the stands, too, and they were loving it. But, boy, it was fun watching the Vikings fans biting their nails a little bit. They got real quiet in that second half.
Should I spare you the sound bites from the head coach? Every single player saying, what do they say after this?
Oh, it's humbling. We got to look at the tape.
Yeah, we got to be better,
yeah.
right? You know, Really glad of how our guys went out and battled, you know, this locker room's together. Okay. Never mind. We don't need to do that. Vikings are 4-0. Packers are 2-2, and we've got work to do. I will share this interesting moment. At the end of the first half, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur lost his mind.
Yeah.
Actually got a 15-yard penalty with the Packers knocking on the door for their first touchdown, which they desperately needed. What was it about? LaFleur apparently trying to call timeout, and the officials weren't seeing it.
Too demonstrative. So, I mean, because I didn't like cuss at the official or anything like that, but he said I was too demonstrative. So, that's what he called.
What, your frustration, your demonstrative reaction was based on the line judge not responding?
Yeah, I don't really get into that. Like, I don't know. I was trying to call timeout. I didn't think they saw me. So, it is what it is. They made the call. They made the call.
I don't know. Something odd about
something that. Else. You heard ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wilde and their friend of the program trying to get LaFleur to walk
it. It was right after like that catch drop thing, right? Like it was a pass right there at the goal line.
Right.
I think they called it incomplete, didn't they? And then he's screaming about a timeout. Like everything about that doesn't seem right.
I thought of this too. Like, there's no NFL equivalent really of the manager getting tossed like from a baseball game. I mean, how many times has Pat Murphy gotten thrown out this year? Half a dozen?
Yeah, you're right.
So if that had been a baseball game, think about how different this. If that had been baseball, everything stops, you know.
Yep,
manager goes out there, gone, gets up in a guy's face. They jaw at each other. He threatens to throw him out. He says one more thing. Then he gets thrown out. Then, oh, I can't believe I got like, everything stops.
Imagine he hands his clipboard, his headset here. Going, all right, you're calling plays now.
Packers will hit the road this week. They're in Los Angeles to face the Rams, who will come in 1-3 on the season, having just lost to the Bears yesterday, Sunday's game, a 3:25 kick in L.A. There's free stuff today, Eve. And this morning, we do know when the Brewers will play their first two games. That's the Brewers buzz right
Brewers
there.
Brewers buzz.
In the playoffs, which begin tomorrow. Game 1, 4:32 p.m. tomorrow. Game 2, 6:38 p.m. Wednesday. Opponent to be determined. Live on the line this morning, Brewers Chief Operating Officer Marty Ronsky. Marty, I feel like I need a lawyer to figure out the various scenarios here.
Yet hey, to be I got to tell you, I know a few, and I'm still trying to figure it all out. No, it was a... It was a funny scene yesterday, as you can imagine, as we're all trying to be smarter than just letting it all play out. But as you can hear from my voice, we've done a lot of cheering, a lot of celebrating, and here we go. We're just going to beat whoever we play, Vince.
So special things ahead at the ballpark, and I want to ask you about tickets and parking and such yet, but what do we know about, like, do we know national anthem singer, first pitch, things like that?
Well, yes, sir. So first of all, you know, our fans are incredible and we're all about these rally towels. So, rally towels at the gates for all the games. If you've never been a part of a playoff game, there is just something, right? You can't deny it, Vince, that there, when you're waving those towels, the energy, seems to just build. So rally towels at all the games. We've got, Jim Gantner is going to throw out the first pitch to Bill Schroeder, like the old days. tomorrow, I can't believe I'm saying tomorrow. And we have Mike Moustakas back Wednesday for the first pitch as well. So it's, again, as we build and we stay with all of our awesome tradition in Milwaukee, the next 2 days are going to be unbelievable.
And, Marty, it sounds like we have a lot of different prep rallies that are going to pop up here and there across the region. Are those public knowledge where those are going to take place?
Yeah, well, if they're not, I'll make them public knowledge.
All right, here we go.
Your social media is already a buzz, but here you go. You're hearing it first, maybe. But yes, exactly. So those last week when we did that drive through at the ballpark, our fans were out in force and loving again, rally towels and car flakes. So we ordered more, and are in some partnerships with Quick Trip and Chick-fil-A, and our friends at the Third Street Market Hall, from 6:30 to 8:30 this morning at the Quick Trip, on Speedway Drive in Franklin, Oconomowoc Parkway in Oconomowoc, and Sun Valley Drive in Delafield. Those are Quick Trips. 6:30 to 8:30, you're going to find our Brewers 414. You're going to find some mascots. And then from 11:30 to 1:30, we've got the Chick-fil-A on Capitol in Brookfield, the Chick-fil-A on 76 in Greenfield, and the Chick-fil-A on 76 in Pleasant Prairie, as well as the Third Street Market Hall. Again, just a big celebration, getting that energy going. Tomorrow, the city's going to be blue and gold, you know, the home bridge and all the other places that light up. The banners are up. It's here, guys.
Talking with Brewers COO Marty Ronsky this morning ahead of the Brewers' first playoff game tomorrow afternoon. Marty, what's the ticket situation? I know that when we spoke with Rick last week, there were a few left here and there, but oftentimes when you get close to game time, some additional tickets are released?
Yes, exactly. So Brewers.com/postseason, there are a couple. I actually was just looking before I jumped on with you. There are a couple still out there, but Major League Baseball is letting go of a few of their holds and a little bit later today. And so you're going to see some additional seats added to when you jump on online. You're going to see some additional seats added. So they're out there. We do have tickets for both games. There are good. But you know what? If you just want to be a part of it, we've got tickets at that $35 and $40 mark, Vince. And I will tell you, I was at the ballpark all weekend. That terrace level, those, there is not a bad seat in this house, as you well know. So come on in, right? We've got tickets across all price ranges. For folks, I think there's a misconception there sometimes, but all the way across, and more available later today.
Awesome. Brewers COO Marty Ronsky with us on the front end of what we hope is a long run.
Here we hope we're talking
again soon, Marty.
Here we go. I hope so, guys.
6:57 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
And the Brewers will either play the Mets or they'll play the Diamondbacks. It depends on what happens today. If there's a sweep today, if either the Braves or the Mets sweep today, then the Diamondbacks come to town.
If they split, then we see the Mets
yep.
here in Milwaukee. 6:57.